So go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 6, and today we're going to be looking at Matthew 6 verses 1 through 8, and then verses 16 through 18. Now, would you all agree that many people are turned off by hypocritical Christians? I've said this before in the past. The reality is that all of us are hypocritical Christians if we put our faith in Jesus Christ. We've all sinned, and we all fall short of the glory of God. And even now, as Christians, we still mess up. And so we are only here through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. But there are some Christians who boast things that they're not living out. And when Christians do this, people recognize the hypocrisy. Let me give a couple examples here just that I came across on social media. There's an Instagram page called Preachers and Sneakers. And what they like to do is highlight some big name preachers wearing expensive clothes. Now, these are people asking for donations to their church for missions and all sorts of things. So here's one pastor. This is a televangelist, Guillermo Maldonado. And he's wearing a Louis Vuitton, and I'm like far from that. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right. A suede denim jacket worth $4,850. This is Elevation Church pastor Steve Furtick, and he's wearing a $1,950 holy sweater. That's what it's called because it had lots of holies in it. And I believe I read this was on Easter Sunday. So a nice $2,000 sweater. And then we have a musician, worship leader, Chandler Moore. He's wearing some Jordan 1 retros, which are worth $4,000. And I'm looking at my shoes here. I'm like, man, I could probably get about I could get a lot of shoes for that amount. And then here's T.D. Jakes. He's wearing a $1,250 fanny pack. And this, by the way, is why I don't wear fanny packs here at church, because I don't want to show off my wealth here. Now, it's not a good look, is it? Now, speaking of hypocritical pastors, I want to tell you about a pastor that I read about this week from Colorado. His name is Eli Regalado. And between June of 2022 and April of 2023, he raised $3.2 million to fund a new cryptocurrency. And then he then used some of that money, hundreds of thousands of dollars, for a home remodel project. And then he pocketed some of the other money. And so now investors have lost a lot of that money, and a civil complaint has been filed in Denver by the Colorado Division of Securities. Now, Regalado's excuse, he said God told him to sell the cryptocurrency. And by the way, he said, if you've lost your money, listen, God's not done with this situation yet. That's what he told them. Now, the problem is people notice these things, don't they? And so these blatant acts of hypocrisy turn people away from Jesus Christ. And in the sermon today, Jesus wants to show his followers how to live in a way that doesn't turn people away. Jesus wants his followers to not be hypocrites. And so in doing that, he's going to give all sorts of examples in the passage that we're going to look at today of what hypocrites look like. And so that's why I titled today's sermon, How to Be a Hypocrite. But listen, my goal isn't to teach you how to be a hypocrite. Most of us don't need to know that, right? My goal is for us to learn from these situations so that we can identify them in our own life and then fix the areas we need to fix. And so let's go ahead. We're going to be looking today at verses 1 through 18, but we're going to be skipping verses 9 through 15 because we're going to look at that separately next week. And so let's go ahead and look at verse 1. Jesus starts out by saying, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." And so Jesus begins by describing what a hypocrite looks like, even before he uses the word, which he'll do in the very next verse. And so the Greek word that we get the word hypocrite from originally referred to actors who were performing on a stage. Now, for those of you who are actors here, I don't mean to insult you right now, but most actors are doing it for the ovation. At least the one, the professional one. They like the ovation, the applause that they get from people. They want to be adored by people. And so when you think of the word hypocrite, that same idea should come to mind. See, from Jesus's perspective, a hypocrite was someone who pretended to live out religion for the purpose of praise from others. So they were faking it in order to impress people. And what does Jesus say about this? He says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people. Now, as I've said in the past, the word righteousness can have a lot of different meanings depending on the context. And so when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are declared righteous, meaning that we are declared right before God. But this is not what Jesus is referring to when he speaks of righteousness in this situation. When he says practicing your righteousness, he's essentially saying doing religious acts. And he's not saying that those are bad. So it's good to do these things. Jesus is not telling us to avoid doing religious things, but instead he's saying to avoid doing them in order to be seen by others. You see, a hypocrite is more concerned about how he or she looks on the outside. And Jesus warns his followers, don't live like that. As Christians, our main concern should be what God thinks of us, not what others think of us. And so we have to be very careful how we act and what our motivations are. Because if you're doing something to glorify yourself, then as Jesus says, that you're like a Pharisee and you'll receive no reward in heaven. Dallas Willard says this. He says, desire for religious respect or reputation will immediately drag us into the rightness of scribes and Pharisees because that desire always focuses entirely upon the visible actions, not on the source of action in the heart. So Jesus then, in the next number of verses, goes into three areas of practicing our righteousness that we need to be careful in. And so we're going to take a look at all three of these areas. So here is area number one, and that is the area of giving. So he says in verse 2, thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Now I'm going to point this out in each of the three areas that we're going to be looking at. But notice that Jesus says, when you give, not if you give. You see, as Christians, we should be generous to others with every area of our life, including our finances. Now, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, I'm not going to read those today, but Christians are told to give generously, but we're specifically told to give generously through our church. And this is going to sound self-serving here, but listen, we are told as Christians to give through our church. It's not that giving outside of the church is bad. So he's not saying don't do that. But as Christians, our home base is our home church. And so as our home church, as the hands and feet of Jesus, of God there, we want to give generously to those around us so that we don't neglect those around us, but we do that first and foremost through our home church. And so that's what we're told to do. But when we do that, this is really the main point, when we do that, we're not supposed to do it to get fanfare. You see, a hypocrite gives for praise. Jesus gives the funny example of the trumpets. And so apparently my idea of putting a little sensor on the wooden buckets and the wooden boxes back there so that when you put something in there, a trumpet sounds, that's a bad idea. Because Jesus says, gives that example, sort of like a silly example. Jesus is saying, don't give to just get praise. Don't give to just try to get attention from others. That's what hypocrites do. Instead, what should we do? He says in verse 3, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So the point here that Jesus is making is not to try to do something that your hands don't know about, like trying to do something that your right hand doesn't know that you're doing with your left hand. The point is the bigger example that we're to give quietly without any fanfare. That's what Jesus is getting at. I read a story about an Irish explorer named Ernest Shackleton, and he went on an Antarctic expedition in 1908. And his team made it 97 miles short of the pole before having to turn back. And they were near the end. Their food supply was low, and the team only had enough food for one last meal. And so they handed out the remaining hardtack, which is like dried biscuits. Everyone got the same amount. And some of the men went and ate it right away, while others put it in their food sack to sort of hold on to the very last moment of hungry desperation. Well, that night, the group built a large fire, and everyone circled around it and went to bed in their sleeping bags. And as Shackleton was drifting off, he noticed just before he fell asleep that one of his most trusted men near him sat up. And that trusted man looked up and looked around as if to make sure no one was watching. And then Shackleton's heart sank when he saw that trusted man reach towards the food sack of the man next to him. But then to his surprise, the man opened the sack and the trusted man, he put his own hardtack into the other man's sack. And church, that's a great example of how we should do it. We don't do it for fanfare. We don't give to get attention from others. We don't say, hey, look at me. No, we give quietly without bringing any attention to ourselves. And if you will do that, your Heavenly Father, Jesus says, will reward you. And I talked a number of months ago about what those rewards are. And the short answer is, I don't know the specifics of the rewards that he's talking about. But I do know this, if the king and creator of the world that holds all things together is saying that he's going to reward you for doing something, then can we assume that it's going to be something good? I don't know what it is, but it's going to be worth it in the end. So let's go ahead and let's move on now to the second area that Jesus mentions in the next verse, and that is the area of prayer. Now, as I said before, we'll look at verses 5 through 8, and then we'll skip verses 9 through 15 to look at next week. So Jesus says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you that they have received their reward. And when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty praises as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So first of all, I want you to see that just like I said in the first point here, prayer is expected, not suggested. So he doesn't say if you pray, but when you pray. Now, what is prayer? Prayer is simply, at its most basic, it's communication with God. Now, there's more to it. It can get fancier in the definition, but there's different types of prayer. But at its most basic, it's communication with God. And next week, we're going to be looking at how we can pray. Jesus gives an example. But for now, I simply want us to see that we should be praying. And so before we get into the details next week, let's not overcomplicate it. Spend regular time with God, speaking to him and hearing from him. How do we hear from him? God can communicate to his followers in any way he chooses. And over history, he's done that in a number of ways. But do you know the main way that he speaks to us? And that's through his word, through the Bible. Dwight Moody said, "When I pray, I talk to God. When I read the Bible, God talks to me." So again, don't complicate it. If you don't know how to pray and you're like, I need to pray this week. Listen, all you need to do is grab your Bible, open it up to the middle, right? Open it up in Psalms, read a little bit of Psalms, and then pray whatever comes to mind. And then read a little bit more, and then pray a little bit. And repeat, rinse, repeat, and so on. Keep going until you run out of time. Now, is there more to it than that? Absolutely. But if you will start with just that basic step right there, you will be way ahead of many people who don't spend any time at all in prayer. But Jesus' main point in verses 5 through 8 is focusing on how we can pray as a hypocrite. And so here's what we can see from this passage about hypocritical prayer. He says, a hypocrite prays for show. They're out to impress people with their prayers. So two people can be doing the exact same thing with different motivations. And so it's less about the words that you're praying and more about the motivation of your heart. And Jesus says that hypocrites like to pray in front of people and impress them. And they like to talk and talk and talk. But Jesus tells us, don't be like them. And it's not that he's against public prayer. Again, it's the motivation. So instead, Christians should pray to an audience of one. And your one and only concern should be your Heavenly Father. He's the one that you're praying to, and so don't try to impress others with your prayer. And I remember when I was in ninth grade in PE class, we were out on our field behind the school, and there were a bunch of us guys that were playing touch football, while a lot of the girls were off to the side just chatting. And for some reason, the teacher got called away off the field, and before we knew it, we were all alone. And so some of the boys that were playing football, being near the girls, came up with the bright idea of switching to tackle football. Now, wisely, I decided to sit this one out. I know my strengths, and tackling is not one of them. So I watched as people plowed into each other, knocking each other to the ground, and getting back up as if it didn't bother them at all. You know, there's no blood, but it was like, you know, they were like killing themselves. Why? Because the girls were over on the sideline watching them. Now, thankfully, no one got hurt. But I am sure this wouldn't have happened if they weren't trying to impress those people on the side. Now, church, let me challenge you to be people of prayer. But don't do it just to impress your small group or your friends or your kids or your spouse or anyone else. Be people who pray because you want to spend time with your Heavenly Father. Now, skipping ahead to verse 16. The third area that we see that Jesus talks about is the area of fasting. He says, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, and their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. And when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So what is fasting? A basic definition is that it's temporarily giving up something to focus more completely on God. Now, most of the time, fasting has to do with food, and that makes sense because food is a major part of all of our lives. But people can fast all sorts of things. You can fast food, you can fast drink, you can fast television, like television, electronics, sexual activity, or all sorts of other things. You name it, it probably has been fasted. But what you're doing as you fast is you're removing the distraction, even if it's a good thing, you're removing it to be able to focus on God. Now, can I be honest with you all? I'm not the world's greatest faster. And you're like, no kidding, yeah? Well, I am far from it. And my wife, who's over in the back there, would be wholeheartedly agreeing. I remember when we were just 6 months married, we went on a mission. We went to a missions conference in St. Louis. And on the second or third day of the conference tricked us because they announced the night before that they would be doing a fast the next day of breakfast and lunch. They didn't say that in the brochure. And so there we were, 6 months married, and I was feeling like it was like my last 6 months of life. I was starving to death in front of my new bride. And so there we were at lunch break, and I put that in quotes because there was no lunch. It was just a break. We sat around drinking water, and my wife was perfectly fine. It was like she was born to fast. It was like she's this angelic person. So, oh, food, I'll take it if I need it. But yeah, fasting, that's what I was born to do. Me, on the other hand, I turned into the Grinch. And I was like, and we saw that day who the stronger person was. So I am not a good faster, but can I say it again? I've said this in the other two. Notice that fasting is expected, not suggested. He says, when you fast. And so I want to challenge you to give fasting a try. Now, assuming that you're physically healthy enough to do so, to fast food, then try it out. If not, there's lots of other areas that you can fast. So start out, if you've never done it before, by fasting one meal. And instead of eating, you can spend that time where you would be eating normally, reading your Bible or praying. And every time that hunger pain comes, let that be a reminder to you to pray for a moment. And maybe you can't fast or aren't ready to. Well, there's other things. Well, why don't you try fasting electronics? Try fasting Netflix. Try fasting your phone for everything except for those important phone calls. And when you do it, though, Jesus' point is that we should not do it for show, because that's what hypocrites do. You don't go around saying, oh, I'm so hungry because I'm fasting. Oh, my stomach hurts. I haven't had anything to eat since last night. No, instead, Jesus says, anoint your head and wash your face. And that's the Middle Eastern way of saying act normal. Act normal, look normal. And when you do, your Heavenly Father will see it and he will reward you. I want to close with this story, and I can't verify that it's 100, that it's a true story, but it looked true to me, but I looked at the source, and so I'm just saying I'm not 100% positive about it. But 100 year there on the 100 year anniversary of missionaries coming into the Congo, there's a large celebration planned there, and the celebration involved reflection and stories and meals together and people sharing about the impact that the missionaries had over the past 100 years. And during the celebration, there's this very old person that came forward and he spoke to the crowd and he told them that he was the very last person alive who was privy to a very terrible secret. And he said that when the missionaries had arrived, they didn't trust them or their message. And so the natives began slowly and secretly and systematically poisoning the missionaries. And so they watched as mothers said goodbye to children and as husbands said goodbye to wives. But in watching them die, they realized that what they were saying was true. And as a result, many people came and put their faith in Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you, when people watch you, are they gravitating more to Christ or away? I recognize, as I said at the beginning, none of us are perfect. And we are all hypocrites saved by grace. But God is calling us to do our best to live honorable lives with integrity, not for show, not to impress people, but just imagine the impact that we could have as a church if we could live with integrity. And as I said before, Jesus practiced what he preached. Not only did he challenge his followers to live that way, to not be hypocritical, but he lived it out in his own life. And Jesus humbly and compassionately went to the cross so that you and I might have life. And so he's the one that we should follow after and model our lives after. And so I want to encourage you to do that today if you've never done that. And let's leave with the intention that, hey, we're never going to be perfect, but let's leave with the desire to get hypocrisy out of our life. Let's go ahead and spend a moment now in prayer, and a worship team, you can come on up.